Today on the Health Report, trying to pick up some cancers that aren't screened for early enough that they're still curable. It is possible and there are tools to help GPs, but some say they don't like them and feel they know better. New findings which may help younger women with breast cancer and screening of the heart. Australian research has concluded that everyone over the age of 65 should be screened for an abnormal heart rhythm called atrial fibrillation, which can increase the risk of stroke and death. One of the researchers was Ben Friedman, who's Professor of Cardiology at the University of Sydney and Concord Hospital.
Atrial fibrillation is an abnormal heart rhythm where the collecting chambers called the atria are fibrillating. Literally, they're just shivering. And it can result in clots forming inside the collecting chambers because they're not pumping the blood normally. This is one of the feared complications of atrial fibrillation, a clot from the heart being shot off, lodging in the brain, causing a stroke.
And what proportion of strokes are thought to be caused by people with atrial fibrillation?
A third of all strokes are caused by AF, and it's rising because as the population ages, AF becomes a greater proportion of all stroke. And most people have never heard of AF.
And the cause of AF is an aging heart or low blood supply to the heart? What's the story?
There are a number of causes. High blood pressure, diabetes, obesity is another factor, sleep apnea, alcohol in excess. Endurance athletes, as they get older, will sometimes develop atrial fibrillation.
Oh, really?
So it's a multiplicity of causes. In developing countries, rheumatic fever is a big cause of atrial fibrillation.
Now, what you're talking about is what's called asymptomatic AF. In other words, you don't know you've got it, which is presumably the majority of people.
In the younger age group, most people do have symptoms.
Which
but
are
they
what?
Don't. They feel faint or have palpitation, feel a fast beating of their heart, or they may feel breathless or tired. As you get older, many more are asymptomatic. And if you look at people with asymptomatic atrial fibrillation or AF, their heart rate is about the same as a normal heart rate. So these people generally won't report symptoms and it would only be picked up by chance.
And the importance of heart rate here is that when the atria, these top chambers, really dictate the rhythm of the bottom chamber, the ventricles, and so when they're quivering, the risk is that a very high rate of electrical impulses goes through to the bottom chambers and therefore you get a very high pulse rate, and that was what gives you the sensation of palpitations. And what you're saying is as you get older, that's not so efficiently transmitted and therefore you can have almost a normal pulse rate.
That's right. When you're younger, and sometimes when you're older, the heart rate when you go into AF might be around about 160, and it's quite irregular. But when you're older, and particularly when it's asymptomatic, mostly it's around about 80 per minute.
You've done this study looking at whether or not there's the same risk with asymptomatic AF, which then led you to the conclusion that perhaps we should screen for it. It's so important. Just tell me about the evidence that you've generated.
We looked for this in a very large cohort in the General Practice Research Database in the United Kingdom. We were able to discover about 5,500 people who had developed atrial fibrillation. They were completely asymptomatic, and we were able to follow them for 3 years, compare them with a group of about 24,000, same age, same gender, but without AF. And we could see more than a doubling of the stroke rate and more than a doubling of the death rate of people who had AF. And we were also able to see the impact of treatment because not all of the people were treated. The people who were put on warfarin, a powerful anticoagulant, reduced the stroke rate in a year and a half from 4% to 1%. And the death rate reduced from 7% to 4%. That's only in a year and a half of treatment. And if you were not to have picked it up, these people would have presented with a stroke.
And how do those figures compare to people who've got palpitations and what's called fast AF?
It doesn't seem to differ very much. Probably the most important thing when you have AF is what your age is. So the older you are, the more likely you are to throw off a stroke when you go into AF. But other things like having high blood pressure, having diabetes, having had a prior stroke will also increase the risk of stroke. If you're a female, that increases the risk of stroke. If you've got peripheral artery disease or had a heart attack in the past, that also increases the risk of stroke. And we can calculate this using a risk score. So not everyone with atrial fibrillation is at the same risk of stroke. But when we pick it up asymptomatic above the age of 65, nearly all the people are at a high enough risk of stroke that they need treatment.
How would you screen for it? Because people call for screening from time to time, and there are certain rules about screening. One is that the test needs to be cheap, it needs to be accurate, and there needs to be a treatment that follows that makes a difference, or an intervention that makes a difference. So that's breast cancer, the intervention is not that cheap, but at least you do detect it at such a rate that it's reasonably efficient, and there's something you can do about it. Same with colon cancer, and same with cervical cancer. Is there a cheap, effective test that leads to a different outcome?
AF is one of the things that fulfills all of those. First of all, it's pretty common. 14 in every 1,000 people over the age of 65 will have it and not know about it if you just do a single screen. The easiest and cheapest is to just feel the pulse, but you have to know what you're feeling, and it's not as accurate.
So I thought that was pretty inaccurate, and it's, you know, GPs are often hammered for not picking up atrial fibrillation, but in fact, it can be quite difficult to do, and it can also be quite difficult to see on the ECG, electrocardiograph.
Well, I agree, and that's why I turned to an electrocardiographic way of doing it. The 12-lead ECG, the standard ECG, is fine, but it's expensive, and you have to take off your clothes, lie on a bed, have this machine with lots of wires hooked up to you, and it takes about 15 to 20 minutes. So what I was looking for was something that you could put in a person's hand, and within a minute, you would have an ECG and a diagnosis, and that's in fact what we have found, developed, and tested.
So this is one of these iPhone devices with electrodes on it, and you just put it on your chest?
Well, you don't have to put it on your chest. You just hold it in your hand. The electrodes are on the back of the phone. The electrodes sit in a case that was invented by two Australians and one American cardiologist. It's a fantastic device because it communicates with the phone by ultrasound and turns on the microphone of the phone, and then it transmits that and changes the ultrasound signal into an ECG. It displays it so that the person who's having it done can see and watch as they're having it taken. And as soon as it's finished, in 30 seconds, it gives a diagnosis that's 98% sensitive and about 92% specific.
So what you're talking about here is the chances of it picking up AF if you've got it, and chances of diagnosing it wrongly, saying that you've got AF when you don't.
Yes, well, that's what the algorithm does, but once you look at it, a trained pair of eyes will be able to tell half of those as noise or something else. So it's actually extremely accurate. If you compare it to almost any other screening test, it's an amazing screening.
Now, you've also looked at the chance, you know, if you were to screen everybody over 65, the detection rate using devices like this. What is it?
When we went out to do this in pharmacies, we found exactly what we'd predicted. 15 out of 1,000 that we screened over the age of 65 had AF and didn't know it.
Now, not everybody merits treatment in that situation. There's something called the CHAD score, which takes into account some of these factors that you mentioned before. And if your CHAD score is over a certain level, then you warrant anticoagulants. And if it's under that, you probably don't. The next step is an assessment by your GP, I assume.
That's right. But what we found was, and this is what other people have found, the new score that people are using is called CHADS-VASc. It's a little bit more sophisticated, and it has gender and an extra point if you're between 65 and 75. We found that every single one of the 15 that we found had a high enough score that guidelines would recommend treatment. And I would say that when you screen for this, about 95% of the people you find over the age of 65 will need treatment because their risk of stroke is so high.
And it's worth the money?
Well, we think so. When we looked at the people who were treated with anticoagulant, their risk of stroke came down to a person without AF. Secondly, we did an economic analysis, and we found that if it cost $20 to do a single screen, the cost to prevent one stroke would be $30,000 Australian, and the cost to increase one quality adjusted life year would be about $6,000. The reason that it's less expensive is that the strokes that people get with AF are so terrible that they'd be prepared to trade 5 years of their life to not have had the stroke.
So when you've talked to people in power, what do they say?
It's a slow process, Norman. We've shown that you can do it in a pilot. We've shown you can do it in general practice. You then have to get the general practitioner to prescribe anticoagulant rather than aspirin, because aspirin's not effective for this. And you then have to screen enough people to make a difference. And I've done a calculation that if we were to be able to screen about 75% of the population of Australia over 65, and if we were to treat them, about 75% of the ones who should get treatment actually got the right treatment, then we could prevent about 250 strokes every year for the next 10 years after only a single screen.
And if you've not got atrial fibrillation at the age of 65, what chance have you got of having it at 70 and 75 and 85? In other words, how often should you rescreen? I mean, that's been a huge debate with cancer screening.
Well, I would guess that it probably should be done annually because the incidence goes up as people get older. The awareness of atrial fibrillation is very low. In surveys of people who have the condition, half of the people with AF either deny or don't know that there's an increased risk of stroke. And when we did our study in Sydney pharmacies, there were 23 people who had AF and said they didn't have it. But when we asked the general practitioner, it was known to the general practitioner. Most of them were taking warfarin, but they had no idea what they had. So the lack of awareness of the population that this exists is very high. People have heard of stroke and heart attack, but they've not heard of atrial fibrillation. And even the people who have it don't know about it.
Ben, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Norman.
Yet again, lack of attention to our health knowledge or health literacy makes life more dangerous. Ben Friedman is Professor of Cardiology at the University of Sydney and Concord Hospital, and you're listening to The Health Report here on RN with me, Norman Swan.